It's been a year since Daniel Prue died after Rochester police officers restrained him during a mental health arrest. He had been rendered brain dead and was taken off life support a week after the encounter. 1 year later, what does a mental health crisis response look like for Black and Brown residents? How has local mental health treatment for people of color changed? WXXI's Noel Evans takes a closer look.
Are you Daniel?
Yes, sir.
Daniel Prude?
What happened to Daniel Prude reignited an already active movement for racial justice, this time focusing on mental health and policing. Then in early March, Tyshawn Jones, a 29-year-old Black man, was cutting himself outside of a homeless shelter. He walked towards an officer while holding a kitchen knife and was shot 5 times.
Drop the knife!
Less lethal means of disarming him were not used. Both Jones and Prude showed signs of being suicidal. Some police officers receive Crisis Intervention Team Training, CIT. It's a program that's been in place since 2004. But former city police chief Cedric Alexander, now a psychologist and consultant, says police in general are still ill-equipped to answer mental health calls.
It is a check-the-box type of program. Because if it was anything more than that, we would not see incidents that end up the way that we do, such as with a Daniel Prude.
According to the National Alliance of Mental Illness, people in psychiatric distress are more likely to encounter police than get medical help. And Mental Health America says that just over 1 million people with mental illness are incarcerated each year in the U.S., For context, more than half of incarcerated people are Black and Hispanic, despite making up 30% of the general population.
That's across this country. We are responding to calls with people who have mental health conditions, and we're putting them in jails as opposed to getting them to facilities where they can be helped and there can be ongoing help.
There are 3 crisis response teams in Rochester and Monroe County, PIC, FIT, and FAUCET. Both the county's Forensic Intervention Team, FIT, and the city's Person in Crisis Team, PIC, will more than double in size in the coming months. Team members work in tandem with the police. But what if police weren't first responders to a mental health call? What if mental health was treated as a matter of public health rather than public safety?
If we do a good job, we will seldom have these examples of people in these massive moments of crisis.
That's State Senator Samra Brook. She's the chair of the State Senate's Committee on Mental Health. This year is the first time there's been a standalone committee on the topic. Earlier this year, Brook and State Assemblymember Harry Bronson introduced a bill that would create a statewide network of crisis responders. It's called Daniel's Law, named after Daniel Prude. If enacted, it would bar police from being first responders to mental health calls and create state and regional councils that would oversee psychiatric emergency response teams.
And they become the first line of response in one of these emergencies, and they decide who it needs to go to if they can't handle it themselves.
Daniel's Law is still a bill, but it's part of a larger push from advocates and activists for a total reconstruction of how mental illness is viewed and how crisis is treated. In Daniel Prude's case, his brother Joe made 2 calls to 911. The first was for a police escort to Strong Memorial Hospital for a psychiatric evaluation.
What's his
this
name?
Is my brother and I want him to have
Daniel.
It all.
Thank you.
After a couple of hours, Prude was released. Later that night, he ran away from his brother's house. Again, Joe Prude called 911. Before police encountered Daniel, an officer arrived at Joe's porch.
When the doctor called me and told me that they released him,
yeah.
I'm saying, how you going to sit here and tell me you're going to release him when he was already talking about he was hurting himself?
Yeah.
Come on, you weren't supposed to do that.
So why wasn't Daniel Prude admitted to a psychiatric hospital the first time? The county's mental health office, 2 state agencies, and the Joint Commission of Hospital Accreditations have all investigated Prude's treatment at Strong. In a statement, the University of Rochester Medical Center, which operates Strong, says the investigations found that Prude's care was medically appropriate. But when it comes to mental health care, advocate Melanie Funches says it's often not a safe space for Black people.
The services are not designed for us at all.
to the vast majority of people delivering those services, not only do they not have any, let's say, theoretical knowledge of who we are as a people, they don't have any lived experience.
According to the 2019 National Healthcare Quality and Disparities Report, about 70% of people of color in the U.S. are not receiving necessary mental health treatment, and fewer than 20% of mental health practitioners are people of color. Telva Olivares is a Latina psychiatrist with URMC. She runs Lazos Fuertes, a mental health outpatient clinic for Spanish speakers. In the 20-plus years she's been doing this work, she's noticed a trend.
Oftentimes, Latinos' expression of distress has been over-medicalized. And sometimes I see patients for the first time that are over-medicated.
She says she's seen cases where patients have been prescribed potent antipsychotics or given strong drugs that induce sleep. Medicines, she says, they may not have needed.
So we've been able to take people off medications, and we find that people in our patient population have suffered from a lot of trauma.
Olivares says that having a bicultural space for these patients helps to improve their quality of care. But for many people of color with a mental illness, there are significant barriers to getting high-quality care, like cost, stigma, fragmented services, and mistrust. Funches says it can be damaging to see a therapist who doesn't understand you as a person.
If I'm just tired and I'm worn and I'm traumatized, and I've got to walk into my therapist and have to figure out how to explain and then worry, are they going to see this as real? Why go?
She says there needs to be better training and cultural sensitivity, and it needs to be anti-racist. In the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, URMC created a 5-year plan to do just that. The plan is influenced by the Black Physicians Network and the group White Coats for Black Lives. It includes updating policies, recruiting and promoting more people of color, and part of it includes working with actors to role play everyday interactions so that staff can see things from the patient's perspective. Courtney Blackwood is the director of psychiatric nursing at URMC. She leads the initiative.
We plan to have a Black male as one of our simulated patients, and he's going to give the feedback to our group how he feels immediately when we walk in the room.
Blackwood hopes that doctors will be honest about their own feelings when entering a room with a Black man having a mental health crisis. Blackwood says it's part of a larger shift towards a more inclusive and equitable approach to mental health care. But there's a lot of work to do. The American Psychological Association says while there is little direct research into the generational effect of slavery and racial oppression, the impacts of that injustice are visible today.
We survived Jim Crow. We survived enslavement. We survived the Middle Passage. We are the descendants of the ones that lived. We've seen horror after horror after horror after horror. And what we know from the science is that stuff stays with us.
Noelle Evans, WXXI News.